Hello and welcome to the Success Showcase. I'm your host, Eric Lopkin from the Modern Observer Group. And with me as always is Chip Januszewski from the Happiness and Success GPS. Chip, how are you doing this week?
Doing great. How's life in Middletown today?
Doing fantastic. We're moving things forward. And today, we're going to be talking about the importance of design. Very often, design is overlooked. People, you know, put something together and either they don't worry about how it looks or they don't think about how people are going to interact with it. And design is, you know, design is put aside. And for the most part, people misunderstand how important design is. And at one point, it was really appreciated. When Apple first came out with the Mac in 1984, they made it easy for people to do their own design work. And you had lots of people who did not understand design trying to do design. And that's continued as desktop publishing has become more and more and more prevalent. People put things together in Microsoft Word. They don't really think about it. They toss a bunch of fonts on. They grab some clip art. And they think that's design. But design has to go deeper than that. Anybody who's worked in design knows the term form follows function. And broken down, what that means is that what you're designing, what it has to do, is going to decide what it looks like. When people put together computer programs, websites, user interface design is a major function. Because if it's hard for somebody to figure out how to use it, they're not going to bother. So today we're going to talk about different types of design, how it affects people, and what you should be doing with design to really build up your business or career.
Yeah, I think one of the keys out there is realizing the consumer psychology out there and that the fact that we are all creatures of habit, we are creatures of loyalty, we don't like change and that kind of thing. So obviously, if you're tinkering with a design that's doing really well, you are really opening yourself up to problems. So sometimes people just change things for the sake of changing things. And a lot of times you don't realize that if it's not broken, why fix it?
That's absolutely true. In fact, a great example of that a number of years ago was Tropicana orange juice. Tropicana did a major design overhaul on their packaging, and their customer base hated it. And I think the redesign only lasted 3 or 4 months before they had to redesign again to something that was more similar to what they had before, with maybe a few new elements. Because the change in design got such a backlash that, you know, people stopped buying and were calling in complaints. But a design is more than what something looks like. Design creates an impact. It creates an experience. And another great example of where people sort of cheap out on design, where they really shouldn't, and it's one that affects every business person, is their business card. Most people in small businesses, if you have to design your own card, grab a template, put something together, print it out, you know, cheaply, because they don't want to spend a lot of money on it. And what happens is that cheap, you know, put together thing really puts a bad image to the business person.
Yeah, it damages your reputation.
Absolutely.
They figure if you skimp on your business cards and whatever, are you going to skimp on giving them services and so on and so forth too? So.
Right. I mean, the worst example of this is Vistaprint. I'm sure we've all seen the commercials for Vistaprint. Vistaprint focuses on cheap. And what happens is when you get it, if you take somebody who has professionally printed a business card and you take a Vistaprint card and you put the two next to each other, the difference is evident instantly. The Vistaprint card's a little smaller. It's a cheaper paper. What's worse, though, is that most people, when they use a service like Vistaprint, choose a pre-done template. Well, that doesn't create an image for your business. Worse, what happens, and I actually had this happen at a trade show, is I had three different people at three different companies in three different industries all hand me the exact same business card. Because they had all gotten it from Vistaprint, they all chose the same template. Now, this did not give a good image of their businesses.
No, I mean, obviously, you have to have, it's worth your while to get something that's you designed for a logo and for a look and so on, so that you can carry that through. Otherwise, you might as well just be working for somebody else. So if you're going to be doing this for yourself, you have to put a little bit of work into that. And if you have to get somebody to help you design it, it's something that it's worthwhile looking into, just so you don't get that reputation as somebody who's just out there. Because the bottom line is, there is somebody out there that's doing the same thing that you're doing that has put in the time and has a reputation to do that kind of thing. So.
All right. And the other part of these templated business cards is you don't have a logo. It's just text with your name on it and whatever the template is. Branding yourself requires some design work, because you want your business card, your website, if you have a sign, if you have letterhead, you want it all to match. You want the same logo on all your materials. You want all your materials to be the same colors. Large corporations actually have branding manuals that explain what colors can be used, how far the logo has to be from text. Does it have a circle around it, a square around it? Where can you use the logo? Where can't you use it? Something like this is very important for creating a corporate business image. And it's not terribly difficult to do. But if you take the time to do it, if you hire a designer that can do this for you, it makes you look that much more professional.
Yeah, there's a huge upside to that too, because that's the way, you know, in these days of entrepreneurism, if you want to get off the ground quickly and you have that going for you, even as a one-person business, if you have that going for you, you can definitely do some really, really neat things business-wise just by having that look out there. Because these days, when you do have websites and you have everything else out there, you can't tell the size of the business by looking at that. So all you have to do is look at what they're presenting in front of you. And if you have that solid image, it's a huge, huge plus.
Exactly. The better designed it is, the more professional you look, and the more likely you are to get businesses. I've had people come up to me. We start talking. They ask me about my business. I tell them, and they go, the name sounds familiar. And then I'll give them my card, and they'll see the logo. And from the logo, they'll go, yes, okay, I know this. Because it's a part of the image.
Yeah, another part of your design too, especially if you're out there in the networking world, comes down to your networking presentation. If you have a really good tagline that describes your business, like myself, I call myself the Happiness and Success GPS, and I'm known as that out in the area. But the bottom line is, if I walk up to a stranger at a networking meeting or a trade show and people ask me what I do, and I say I'm the Happiness and Success GPS, it automatically generates a question, number one, and it allows me to explain to them what I do, how I've gotten there a little bit. But then when I handed my card with my little smiley face logo on there, which is a map with a smile on it, it really all comes together. And it's really, really something that's it's a lot of fun, number one, but it's very, very effective, number two. So if you work on not only your image, but also your presentation when people walk up and ask you what you do, and the more interesting you make it, the bottom line is people are going to deal with people that they like. And one of the best ways to get people to like you is to confuse them a little bit up front with a smile.
Yeah, again, design is not just visual. Design is about the entire experience. So it's your branding line, your tagline, your networking presentation. It's about how you look. It's about how you sound. You design an experience. If you're designing an office space for your business and you expect customers to be in that space, you have to think about the design of your space. Do you have places for them to sit? Do you have places for them that are not cluttered? What is the experience that they get when they walk in? Certainly, they should see your logo. If this is a public office, your logo should be displayed. The colors of your office should work with the colors of the logo. It should all work together. And it also goes down to little details. Restaurants should spend a lot of time designing their experience, because you're talking about how the restaurant looks, the smell that's coming out of the kitchen, the ambiance, the sound, so you design that, and it literally comes down to all the little details fitting together.
Yeah, you talked about the experience, and a lot of that comes down to just operations itself and training your employees so that everybody's doing the same thing, right from when the customer comes in the door to all the little nuances. I mean, we talked about the e-myth before, and it was making an experience the same every time you go there. And one of the experiences was when Michael Gerber went to a hotel one night when he was tired and just didn't want to drive the rest of the way home. And he stopped there and had just a wonderful experience where they had his newspaper there the next morning. They had his favorite drink waiting for him in the room and everything else. He goes back 6 months later and the same exact thing happened. And the reason was because they were taking notes on him as part of their procedures when clients
right.
came in. And think about restaurants, if they do that with their own clients, taking down what their likes are and so on and so forth, maybe recording what they served them the last time and getting a great compliment from them and that kind of thing. If you get people talking like that and recognizing that they've been there before so that they feel like they're family, it's really, really, really important. So that experience is a huge part of the design also.
Absolutely. But and experiences don't just happen. They have to be designed. So that takes it to a whole other level. Your design, again, when most people hear design, they think photography or drawings or, print, web design. But design goes a lot further than that. It's about designing experiences. So when you're handing somebody a business card, yes, it's about the look of the business card, but it's also about the feel of the business card. Are you giving them something that just feels thin and shabby? Does your business card have weight to it? Is it glossy? Is it a matte finish? All these little things affect how people respond to it. So it's look, it's feel. Design is about all of your senses. Yeah, shape.
I think you and I both know, I can't remember her name, but she had a studio called Acorn Studios, and she does graphic design and so on and so forth, and her business card was shaped like an acorn.
Right.
Very effective. Mary Crombie, I think. You out there, Mary? Hi.
And that's just it. You don't have to design the same way everyone else does. I knew a wood engraver whose business card was a wooden circle that had his information, that he engraved his information on. I know a designer, his card is fairly standard. You know, it looks like every other business card, but if you look in it, there's a shape that's actually die cut out of the card. So it's not solid. There's an actual dimension to it. Most people have, you know, just single-sided cards, but you can print on both sides of the card. I know personally, my card folds out to give more information.
Yeah, my card has the logo on one side and then my information on the other. So
right, all of these things are design choices. And they all go back to what we said at the beginning, form follows function. What do you want your business card to do? What do you want your brochures to do? What do you want your website to do? The design should flow naturally from that. And one of the key elements that many people forget about is the old KISS system. Keep it simple, stupid. If somebody can't figure out how to use your website, if they can't figure out how to use your product, it's a bad design.
Again, people are creatures of convenience, and a lot of times we're a little bit lazy, and we're not going to work to do that kind of stuff. I mean, with websites, everybody knows that if your homepage is even a little bit too busy, people are going to go to some other place, and that's just the way it is. So you have to cater to human habits, and a lot of times people do their own thing, and they're so into what they're doing as far as their products and services. And they think that it's so cool, but it's overkill that they like, but nobody else is going to. And you have to keep that in mind. And it's not a really bad idea, especially if you have a good network. If you are designing things yourself and you're a one or two person business, run your ideas by some of your other business associates and friends out there to see what they think, so that you don't waste a lot of time and money doing something that's not going to work, and be able to take people's criticism if they say it's not going to work.
Right. When you're putting these designs together, you have to remember you're not designing for you. You're designing for your customer. And that's a very common mistake. Great example of this was in social media. If you take a look at Facebook and you take a look at Google+, these two sites had essentially the exact same function. They had the same functionality, they did the same things, but when you looked at it, Facebook was obviously designed by people who wanted to use the site. Google+ was designed by engineers as a product they were trying to sell. Well, as a result of that, Google+ was not intuitive for people to use, it was convoluted, and people just went, you know what? I don't need this. I can do this on Facebook. Another great example of keeping it simple is Google's homepage. Google's core business is still search. It does all these other things, but search is what most people know it for. So when you go to the Google website, there's their logo that they play with, And a search bar.
Yep, and that's what people do. I mean, people are automatically trained where if you have something you want to look up, you just automatically, and that's the phrase now, it's not look it up anymore, it's Google it.
Right.
And actually, the Google thing that they have coming up, I think, is very, very clever, because lots of times on a day, you know, on a day or a weekly basis and so on and so forth, it changes a little bit. It might reflect somebody's birthday or a season. Sometimes you can click on it and have fun stuff happen to it. So that's a lot of fun, too. A lot of times people will ask other people, hey, did you see the Google logo today and see what it did?
Exactly. They're using design to draw their viewers in, to draw their users in.
Yeah, it's the same Google, but with different things hanging on it, depending on what day it is.
Right. And that gives people a reason to pop by, even if they're not looking for anything. Remember, so many people now search through other ways. They put a search in the bar of their browser, and it goes to a search engine. They speak searches into their computer, their phone. So Google has to have a way to make sure people are coming to their site. So by giving you that changing logo, it makes people want to say, oh, what did they do today?
Yep.
And take a look.
Yeah, because it is graphic and it's functional, it is a really, really cool experience. Whereas if you are just a static business where you don't have an online presence like that, if you change your logo like Google does, even modify it a little bit on a daily or weekly basis or even monthly, you will confuse people and it's going to have a reverse effect. The reason that Google gets away with that is because they are a business that does visuals and graphics and so on and so forth and moves right in front of you. And they have the reputation to go look for it. So what's good for one is not always good for another.
Exactly. And you have to think about that with design. A couple of years ago, we did a rebrand at the Modern Observer Group, and we brought out a brand new logo. However, there were enough elements of the new logo that were similar to the old logo that the transition was pretty seamless. Nobody went, oh my God, what's that? They still recognized it from the old logo, but it gave it a new dimension. So you're not abandoning what you've already done. You're growing on it and you're expanding on it. Good design always has elements that are familiar, because that makes people comfortable. In fact, there's an old quote that's actually been attributed to a load of people. No, I don't think anybody's really sure who actually said it, but it was, good artists borrow, great artists steal. And good design is built on the familiar. You can then go out and, take it as far as you can. But you have to be very careful. Wired magazine, when it first arrived on newsstands, decided it wanted a revolutionary design. And it was very tech heavy and it was very avant-garde. But as a result, it was very difficult to read. And I think it had only been a few months before they started toning that design back to a more traditional magazine look, where they were keeping some of the elements, but they had to make sure that knowing the main function of a magazine is to read it, they had to make sure it was still easily read. So great design does not necessarily stand out as something completely new. It brings elements with it of the familiar to make the viewer comfortable, to make the user comfortable. And it's consistent. Again, with branding, when you're designing your brand, you want everything you have to be recognizable. To the point, we've designed a brand manual, essentially, for the Modern Observer Group. And we have specific colors that we use, specific fonts that we use, specific designs, so that anytime we hand something to a client, it's instantly recognizable as coming from us.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because a lot of times businesses will keep the same logo or the same look, but they'll change colors. And that throws people off.
Right. And the thing is, you can change colors in your logo, but there has to be a reason. And that reason has to be understandable. DC Entertainment has a consistent logo, but they change the color of the logo on different TV shows. Because what they do with the company logo is actually tie the color into the color branding of the show. So while the corporate logo stays the same, the color changes to match the color scheme of that show it's on. So you know when you see the logo, oh, okay, I know which show this is. So you can change it, but again, there has to be a system. There has to be a well-recognized reason for the changes. And if you've designed it well, you can do things like that. And you need to get into things like color and understand. I designed a logo for someone years ago, and I asked them what colors they wanted to use. And they say, well, we use blue and gray. And from a design point of view, first of all, blue. There are 700 different blues you can use. They don't look alike, and they have different connotations and different impacts. So just saying blue, you're doing yourself a disservice. Gray is not a color. Gray is a percentage of black. Do you want a light gray? Do you want a dark gray? What, you know, where along the spectrum do you want it? And it's important to get that specific. In the branding manual that we put together for our company, the colors in the logo are specified by a Pantone identifier, by a hexadecimal identifier for websites. And each color is identified so that a printer knows when we send it, oh, that's the color. When we put it online, oh, that's the color. And it's the same color, whether it's on print or on the screen. And all of these design elements need to work together. And it's very complicated, certainly more so than we're going to be able to get into in a half an hour. But hopefully you've gotten the idea that this is where you need to start, because we're actually running against our end time now. So Chip, what do you think is the big takeaway that listeners should have?
Coming up with something that's relative to what you do, that once you have it right, keep it the same. If it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. I think the big takeaway is if you do your design right from the start, you're in a better position. And you want to take into consideration all of the elements of design. Sight, feel, sound, smell, depending on what you're doing. And by applying all of these elements in your design, you'll create an experience that your clients will enjoy and keep them coming back. You've been listening to the Success Showcase. You can catch us every week at blogtalkradio.com/successshowcase. You can also find us on the Apple Podcasts app and the iTunes Store, as well as wherever you find podcasts. Remember, make this your best week ever, and make next week even better. See you then.